morning, we're going to continue with the second in our series of being a people after God's own heart, looking at the life of David. Now, last week, you might remember that we looked at David being God's choice. Not the obvious choice, but nevertheless, God's choice. For as we are told, man looks at the outer appearance, but God looks at the heart. So today we join the shepherd boy, David, as he's about to leave his life in the fields and step out into the public arena and indeed onto the pages of history. Here's the scene. The army of Saul, their place there, and the army of the Philistines, their place there, facing each other. Every day, we're told. Their champion, Goliath, each day he would step out into the space in between the two armies, and he'd challenge Saul's army to send out a man to meet him in battle. Verse 25 tells us that he kept coming out over and over again. This giant would keep coming out, shouting the challenge, thundering the challenge from the space in between the two armies. And every day they heard the same message and responded in their hearts with the same answer. We can't win. We cannot win. And the day that David showed up was no different to the 40 days that had gone before it. The same message thundered out. The only difference is that on this day it was heard by someone different. You see, life as a shepherd boy living out in the fields taught David to trust God for the smaller, unseen things, where wild animals attacked and where he stood up to them. And now he was about to fight something in public that was much bigger, actually, than anything he'd had to face before. But the point is that when he came to face it, his trust was intact. Let me just for a second zoom us forward in time to the book of Romans. Don't turn to it because I'll read it to you. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. It says this: for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. That means that this story about David, it was written to teach us and to encourage us and to give us hope, to show us what God is like, and in the light of that, how we should live. Yet, you could easily say to me, well, Bob, how does that work? How can a story like this, David and Goliath, Sunday school material, how can a story like this, written thousands of years ago, about two armies facing each other on a battlefield, possibly help me to live as a Christian in Bristol? How's that going to help me in university tomorrow? How's that going to help me at home? How's that going to help me in my work? How does that work? Well, the thing is that as I read these few verses during the week, a thought occurred to me that every time the physical aspect of the battle is mentioned, it seems not to be important. Verse 33, Saul seems to be saying that, physically speaking, David isn't able to win because he's young and he's inexperienced. Yet, he still tells him to go. Verse 39, David couldn't even wear the soldier's armour. when it was put on him. Yet still he goes, unarmed, physically unprepared. Verse 43, Goliath takes one look at David coming towards him and his weapons, or rather his lack of weapons, and thinks that from his physical appearance, he hasn't got a hope. Says, "You're coming at me armed with sticks." Armed with sticks. When in contrast, actually, in verse 41, we're told that Goliath has got so much physical armour that he even needs another man to follow him to help him carry it, to carry his shield. And Goliath is a big bloke. Yet these physical aspects of the battle, they don't seem to matter. Well, they matter to everybody else, but they seem almost somehow irrelevant to David. Can you take a story like this and just spiritualize it? Well, yes, you can. Because you see, it never was primarily about a physical battle. Even then, it always was spiritual. You see, David does have a shield. And later, years later, in Psalm 28, he writes, "The Lord is my strength and my shield." The chapter shouts it out to us again and again and again. It's about God and about who he is. Listen to what David says when he actually walks out onto the battlefield and faces Goliath. He says this in verse 45. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the army of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. And today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or by spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." It never was about a physical battle, even back then, thousands of years ago. So you see, although it's true that you and I will not walk out into a physical battle necessarily here in Bristol, it certainly is a spiritual battlefield. And you and I will walk out onto it every single day. And it's just like the one that David walked out into. And it's all about who God is and about our relationship with him. Daily we face the giants of fear. Daily we face the giants of self-doubt and worry. Daily we face the giants of sin, of condemnation, of guilt, the giants of pride and of anger, the giants of unbelief and indifference, and they ruin relationships and pollute attitudes. And they attack us daily. And they attack our relationship with the Lord. For whatever our age, or indeed our position in the church, it's the same battle with the same foes. And listen to this. It's not about what phase of life we are in. It is not about what phase of life we are in, but rather where we are with God in that phase. It is not about what phase of life we are in, but it's about where we are with God in that phase. So as we think about these spiritual battles that we all must face, the mountains that you can't climb and the hurdles you can't clear, the race you can't finish and the course you can't steer. As we think about these things, as you say to yourself, I'm never going to overcome that. I'm never going to break free from that. I just feel guilty and defeated in my Christian life. As the enemy taunts you from the middle of the battlefield of your life, day after day, with the same message, why not decide, as David decided on that day, enough is enough. Enough is enough. I don't want to live the whole of my Christian life as if I'm defeated and just try and make the best of it. Because I don't have to. I don't have to. I don't have to put up with it. I don't have to put up with it. I'm going to put up. And in the strength of God, I can win. You can win. We can win. We don't have to accept defeat. When David arrives at the scene and sees a situation, you know, he refuses to accept it. And in verses 26, 27, 30, 32, you will find him going around, running around from one group to the next, saying, we don't have to accept this. What's this all about? We don't have to accept this. He refuses to accept that the enemy has the victory. And I wonder this morning if there are spiritual areas of your life where you've accepted defeat. Are there some areas where you've accepted defeat? Sins that have become like old friends. Areas behind closed doors where guilt and condemnation reign and where hopes of freedom have faded. The man who married Jane and I, an old chap, wise old guy called John Collins, he used to preach, and when he was making an important point in his sermon, he had more glasses. He would sort of take his glasses off to make his point. And he told me once, he said, Bob, a youth leader came to see me during the week. And he said to me, he said, you know, well, everyone gets so hung up about sin these days. He said, I mean, everybody sins. And John Collins took off his glasses and said, do you really? Well, stop it. The Lord put his finger on an area like that in my life just a few weeks back. Something that had been quietly bubbling away in the background of my life that I just decided I'd have to live with. And then it struck me. Then I realized that Jesus had died that I might be free in that area of my life. Do you know, it also struck me, having lived with this for 20 years, that for 20 years, I've been wasting Jesus' death. Because he died that I might be free. I wonder how long this morning you're going to wait. How long are you going to leave it? Because when I realized that, I decided to do something about it. And here's what I did. I went straight to another Christian, and I told him about this area of my life that needed sorting. I went straight to him, and I told him about it. And asked him actually to hold me accountable in it. And I asked him to pray for me. And you know, that dear man rings me up every 2 weeks to ask me how it's going and how I'm doing in the battle. You see, to have put off doing something about it when the Lord put his finger on it might have risked me starting another 20-year period if I'd have put it off. Verse 43 tells us that David came at Goliath with what looked to Goliath like a piece of wood. Well, my friends, we come at the enemy with another piece of wood, don't we? The cross of Christ. For Jesus died that we might be forgiven and freed cleansed and renewed. The cross is the place of victory and of power. How wonderful to enter a fight knowing, before you start fighting, that you're going to win. How many football teams would like to be in that position? The saddest thing is this. The saddest thing is knowing all that and choosing not to fight. I found the reaction of David's older brother in verse 28 very interesting indeed. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, that's going around saying, actually it doesn't have to be like this, you can beat this guy. When he heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him and asked, why have you come down here? And whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert with? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. You came down, David, only to watch the battle. I find that interesting that he suggests that David had only come to watch the battle. Because as you and I know, what ended up happening was that he watched the battle. And David was the one who fought it and who won. I remember once Rebecca brought home a school report in which her tutor wrote, Rebecca appears to be a spectator in her own education. Sometimes teachers have a way with words, don't they? But you know that can be true of our lives as Christians. To be soundly saved and yet to stop growing and developing. Avoiding the battles with the real issues in our lives and in the world around us. I think that from time to time, actually, we can all slip into that spiritual coasting mode. I mean, there's certainly times that I have. And this story tells us not to be satisfied with the situation. Not to be content to coast or willing just to watch. Not just to stand and stagnate or make do with mediocrity. But rather to press on in the Lord's strength to victory. That was the key to David's success. He was willing to fight the battles that God told him to fight. And he did it in God's strength. Now this morning, let me be honest what I'm saying here. I'm not telling you to do more, or to try harder, or to be stronger, but rather to put yourself in the position where God can fight for you and through you. To be willing to put yourself in the position where God can fight for you and through you. Because on that day, it was the Lord's battle. And it was the Lord who gave David victory. That's what thunders out of this passage. The Lord was fighting the battle. And it was he who won. And of course, there could have been no other outcome. Because there is no other like our God. Exodus chapter 15, 11 says, who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? He's the living God, my friends. Who can beat him? Many have tried, but all have failed. He's the Lord who reigns. He's the God who rules. No one can match his power or parallel his might. He's the strongest. He's the greatest. Everything that he is involved in succeeds. It cannot be otherwise. What weapon that the enemy uses is going to overcome he who cannot be overcome? What a privilege it is to be in his army and to fight on his side. David said, "But I will sing of your strength in the morning. I will sing of your love, for you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble." So you see, the battle is spiritual. The battle is the Lord's, and the battle is already won. So let's now see things as they really are, as we walk out onto our Bristol battlefield. Not just looking at the outward appearance. Let's walk in the victory of the cross. For the Bible tells us that the battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's in the spiritual realms. And I believe that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. So I finish with this thought. As you think this morning, as the Holy Spirit searches all of our hearts and our minds, what is the Goliath that you are facing in your life? What is the Goliath that you are facing in your life? David didn't measure the problem against his own ability, you know. He measured it by God's ability. And boy, does that change the equation. It really does. You see, it's not so much that we can't win, but that rather, in the power of God, we can't lose. The only way to lose is not to fight. So this morning, perhaps you came as a spectator. Perhaps you came just to watch. Perhaps you came just to listen. Content with where you are in your Christian life. Well, how about stepping out onto the battlefield afresh this morning and inviting the Lord to move afresh in and through you? Because let me tell you, you are never too old, and it's never too late, and you're never too young, and it's never too early. The revival of a nation starts with the revival of the people of God, which in turn starts with revival in the hearts of individuals like you and me. So how about it? This morning, will you respond to the call of God to battle?